Welcome to the Strange Magic Podcast. Today we're doing cards of the year and cards of your year. And I am Amanda Yates Garcia.
And I am Sarah Faith Gottesdiener.
And we cannot wait to talk to you about all things tarot. So let's get started. What is the card of the year? What are we even talking about when we say that?
Indeed. So the major arcana is composed of 22 cards. Each of those cards correlate with a number, starting with number one, ending with number 21, plus the Fool. Yes, deep breath there. I know it's a lot of info. So numerologists have created a formula of adding up the numbers of the year to come up with a number, which is the theme of the year. Now, some numerologists or tarotologists, or terrorists, which is what my partner calls me, really are purists, and they want to reduce that number down further into the core number, 1 through 9, I guess it would be, or 1 through 10.
Which I don't do.
I don't do that either. Yeah. However, I think that the very interesting component of working with all of the numbers sort of the year is that it creates its own sort of narrative of different themes of working kind of with one another. So just to backtrack, how we got at the number of this year is by adding up 2 + 0 + 1 + 8.
Which makes it 11. As you may or may not know, there is a controversy or a scandal regarding the 11 card in the tarot deck. There's two versions of the tarot deck.
There's so many different kinds of decks.
There's millions. Well, maybe not thousands. Millions. Enough. There's a lot. And, you know, one of the earliest versions of the deck, we're going to say probably the second.
Marseille deck.
The Tarot of Marseille, which originated in Italy around the turn between the 1400s and the 1500s. In that version of the deck, the 11 card is the strength card. But in later versions of the deck, that was changed in order to make the correspondences of the deck add up correctly. So the correspondences would be the astrological relationships of the cards. And in that version, which is the version that I use.
And the version that I use as well.
Right. That the 11 card is the justice card. Whereas the older version, it's the strength card.
That is correct. But I think that it's really awesome to keep both the strength and the justice cards sort of together, because they really are informing one another in this case, particularly in this year. Now, if we want to get really purist, we can then break 11 down further. 1 + 1, which equals 2, or the High Priestess. So the archetypes of the year that we can think about, and you can pick and choose. This is not obviously an exact science. We all have our own opinions or what we want to resonate with more, if we want to work with those three archetypes or it's just one. It's whatever you want. But we're going to kind of talk about maybe some themes and some ways that these cards could play out separately or together, as well as just sort of talk about what archetypes or energies you might want to be paying attention to in your own life.
And can I just say that I think it's really cool that it's specifically strength and justice that are interchangeable?
Yes.
Because it does seem to imply a correlation between those two things.
Correct.
And we can see, like, politically, you know, there's a tendency towards overpowering others, right? Which might be implied by the strength card. On the other hand, that's constantly being readdressed by justice, right? Which always is going to seek to address imbalances. Mm-hmm. So there is kind of a syncope between the two, which I find
exhilarating. I do too. And I also really love that one of the themes for me around the justice card is the truth. Like, what is the truth, whether that's difficult or easy. So what is kind of the truth for ourselves, for our collective. And then strength, which for me, one of the keywords or themes of the strength card for me is, of course, the heart and compassion and kindness and working with instead of against, right? So I think it's, we're seeing it kind of play out. Then when you toss in the High Priestess, the archetype that just recently I saw that came into my mind is the judge in the all of the Larry Nassar cases, Judge Janice Cunningham, who let all the women come in and read and was like, you're going to, you know, be locked away. Like,
to the, he's the gymnastics guy.
He's the gymnastics.
The horrible gymnastics doctor who molested all the
hundreds for years. And I think
while they were out busting their buns for to win our country gold medals.
And to be just excellent, exactly,
by the person who was supposed to protect them, which is not justice. But
the judge in this case has been really remarkable, both in what she's been doing with a kind, compassionate, and kind of using that compassion in justice. And in doing so, is sort of in the moment reforming what the justice system can look like or be like.
Ooh, I love that.
And she's also kind of the High Priestess.
Yeah.
So she, to me, that really is like, okay, where are we going to be reforming justice itself, the justice system? We see that with Black Lives Matter. Mm. You know, we see that with so many other social justice movements that are burgeoning and bubbling up here. We're seeing it with the ACLU. We're seeing these harder conversations about, should hate speech be made illegal? What constitutes, like, these kinds of larger questions around fairness, compassion, love, like working within these larger systems, you know, as well. And then maybe if you wanted to kind of chime in, Amanda, do you tend to work with both like justice and the High Priestess and strength? You know, when you're thinking about the year, like how are you working with these ideas and these energies and these archetypes?
That is such a great question. Yeah. So I calculated last year as being a 10 year.
It was.
Right.
Yeah.
A year. So that is about the Wheel of Fortune, which to me seemed appropriate and accurate in that, you know, there was like the hand of fate that sort of seemed to step in and shake everything up and turn everything around, turn everything on its head. And in fact, within my own life, I experienced that. A lot of my clients experienced that within their own lives. And then also on a larger sort of political scale, we could see that. Some folks might have calculated last year as a one, which would have been
the magician,
which you can kind of see in Trump, a sort of
yes.
Magician shadow figure of the magician, sort of egotistically sort of working for his own ends and kind
or
of hiding like
masculinity
a snake
or toxic
salesman.
Masculinity getting yeah. kind of turned on its head, you know, the beginnings of that rumble, you
totally.
Know
totally, or like the kind of person who might hold, like, what's that game they always talk about with the magician, like where you hide a bean under like a cup and you move the cups around and you try and make them guess. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-mm.
A kind of street magician who's like trying to scam
the
you.
The snake oil, which we'll get into.
We get it.
The shadows.
All of this stuff we're going to go into in yeah. so much more detail later on. But this is just really about
moving out of kind of those archetypes of Wheel of Fortune yeah. and the magician collectively and moving into justice, which is correlates with Libra.
Right. So that's why. So last year was a Wheel of Fortune year, according to my calculations and Sarah's. And that's why it makes sense to me that we continue on with that and have this year be the justice year. And I also, I mean, maybe it's wishful thinking that this year is the justice year, but it's also up to us to make it be the justice
Correct.
Year. I also think it's important to address, like, you know, tarot, numerology, astrology, divination in general, all of this is interpretive. And we have to think about, like, why are we using this? It's a way of framing our reality. It's a way of storytelling about what's going on. So that we can move in deeper. So essentially, we can see all of these things as keys or doors or portholes, right?
Suggestions.
So we see the major arcana, for instance, as a doorway that we can pass through and enter into the great reality and talk about things that we maybe wouldn't be able to talk about if we didn't have that door open. Mm-hmm. We just wouldn't be thinking about it. So when we say, oh, 2018 is the justice year, then we get to talk about
justice.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does it mean for this to be the justice year? And I love how you're bringing up already this female judge who is reforming and reshaping what justice could mean for people.
Absolutely. And I also think that in my own life, for example, I can always find pinpoints of truth or themes in all of those cards. And even in my clients, with it being a justice year and or strength and or high priestess, I've been having a lot of reoccurring patterns and themes in client work with people really realizing that this is the last lifetime that they are going to continue on with toxic patterns passed on to them, with familial patterns. This is the last lifetime they will be in incarnation with a certain kind of person that they've maybe been in incarnation with for decades. And that to me is also where the High Priestess and Justice work together, because we have Justice with karma and with cord cutting, and we have the High Priestess with trying to get really clear on what is true for you and where your kind of intuition is coming from and where your value systems are coming from. And it's internal, right? So I see that kind of happening. Like, to me, justice has a lot to do with karma.
I just want to dovetail on that. So two things. First of all, High Priestess is often related to trauma. We're going to be talking about her in another couple episodes. But so she's often related to trauma. And so justice is often about the redress of that trauma, right? The healing of that trauma. But also, I think it's really interesting that Saturn is the planet, the sort of planetary angel, we might say, the sort of planetary spirit of karma. It's the karmic overseer. And Saturn this year happens to be in Capricorn, and Capricorn is his, her domicile. Saturn is often correlated with Hecate, the goddess of the underworld. And I mean, do we see Hecate as a justice-bringing goddess?
I see her as a protector of the weirdos, the freaks, the liminal people, the edge dwellers, the edge walkers. I see her as kind of one of her roles is of the kind of sovereign protector.
And she's also the goddess of the crossroads. So we can think of justice as a point of choice, right? Mm-hmm. In determining which direction.
Correct.
We go.
Yeah. Based on our kind of refound, recentered truth, because the truth right now is changing almost by the day in all different ways. Culturally in America, I can only kind of speak for my experience as a United States citizen. And I think that justice is really, really asking us to get clear on what is true outside of the legal system. I think about that a lot when we're sort of talking about these sweeping larger kind of archetypes. And then I think about, the matriarchy with the High Priestess and the matriarchy kind of resurfacing and coming back. Obviously, she was never gone. She never went anywhere. She was always there.
She's always with us.
Like the moon. She was always kind of there. So I sort of think about these themes and how we can kind of address them collectively, but of course, personally, like in our own lives.
Right. So we should be thinking about, like, what does justice mean to us? How can we take responsibility for bringing justice? Like, is it about balance? Is it about, I mean, karma is essentially about responsibility and taking responsibility to the degree that you can. Mm-hmm. And then it's asking us all to think about these larger questions, such as, like, is justice punishment? Does it mean like the person who does the bad thing has a bad thing happen to them? Or is it more about restorative justice and seeking to recreate harmony or balance? I also think it's really interesting that, to me, the justice image, right, which is most frequently of a woman, sometimes she has a blindfold, sometimes she doesn't. She's often holding a scale.
Yes, and a sword.
And a sword, which goes back all the way to the goddesses of ancient Egypt who weighed the souls.
Weighed
of the
heart,
yeah.
Feather heart. Yeah, we'll get into that when we get into the card itself.
Yeah, but so we can think about her as, I see her as very much in correlation with like the Statue of Liberty. And also in many halls of justice, we see this actual goddess figure in statue form or visually painted above the halls of justice. So I see her as an archetype that is really trying to come back and resurge and reform this year.
Beautiful. I love that. Why don't we talk about how someone can find their card and sort of what our cards are, so they can start thinking about, if you listener aren't sure of what your sort of core tarot card is or your life archetype. Some people call it a soul card.
Yes.
I also think it's really important for us to bring up where we're getting these ideas from. And the person that I read is Mary Kay Greer.
Yeah, in her book, Tarot Constellations, Patterns of Personal Identity, that's really, like, if you want to go more deeply into tarot numerology, mm-hmm. that's a really good place to start, where you can figure out how to calculate your own birth year, you can figure out how to calculate the year that is our collective year, and you can also find out how to calculate your own personal year. And there's a bunch of different ways of doing that. We also should probably mention that, you know, we are going according to essentially what is the Gregorian calendar. So a lot of people might be like, what wah, the wah. Fuck does that have to do with like universal archetype? But the thing is that we're speaking in our own cultural vernacular, and that's the way that spirit communicates to us. At least that's my opinion, is that it uses our own cultural mythologies and frames of reference to speak to us. Because, you know, I, for instance, speak English, and I grew up in the United States. And so when spirit speaks to me, it uses keys that I already have.
To that point, you know, I think it's just one framework. I know a lot of people who begin the calendar year in April with Aries. I begin my year in September because I'm a Jew, and that's the Jewish New Year. Mm-hmm. We'll have millions of Chinese people celebrating the start of the year now with billions. The new moon, you know, billions. Yes, sorry. Good. But sorry, I'm not great at numbers off the top of my head. So, you know, I think that's a good point, Amanda, to kind of bring up that this is sort of a collective framework and that you can pick and choose that as well. That being said, my soul card.
Yeah, what is your soul card?
My soul card is the Chariot.
Of course it is. Oh my God, that is why you are able to get so much done.
I also don't have a child, which like my friends with children like remind me,
you
know.
You have kind of a child.
I have a three-legged dog, so she's my child.
Yeah, who is quite demanding responsibility-wise. It's true. But it's very adorable.
It's Chariot. And how I came up with that is pretty simple. And you can do it too, gentle listener at home. All you do is take all of the numbers of your birth date and year, day, month, year, add them all up together one by one. Like if you were born in 1987, it would be 1 + 9 + 8 + 7, etc. And then you reduce that number down.
So if it's 22 or under, then it correlates with a specific tarot card. So, I mean, there's different ways of doing it. But so for instance, mine is the High Priestess, which I'm like, but ba-dum-ching, of course it is. But it's also, according to the way that I do it, it's also the Fool. Because it adds up to 2000 and then there's three zeros. So in the way that I calculate it, this is my own personal vernacular.
Yeah.
So it's 2000 is what my birth date adds up to. Then I also take the three numbers as kind of a
freebie, a fool,
yeah, like a BOGO, a joker card that mm-hmm. kind of comes in there that I can also use. So tell me though how you see the Chariot in your own life, and then I will think about how I see. Well, you're a Cancer, so Chariot corresponds to the sign of Cancer.
I'm a Cancer, and I feel very associated with Chariot. One real sort of eye-opener for me and the Chariot card was reading more about it and learning that it is Mars in Cancer. So it's sort of that activated Cancer energy, which I think Cancer's sort of their bad rap or whatever is that they're overly emotional and they're moody and all of these things that our culture sort of deems as not very desirable. The Chariot would be like Mars in Cancer, so almost the highlights of Cancer activated, right? So intuition, a real kind of drive and sort of ambition to sort of instigate, right? I feel really, really like great about being the Chariot. It's also like in my own life where it's come up in terms of like the shadow side or whatever you want to call it, has been constantly fighting against like a type A ambition, because I feel like that can be one aspect of it. It's like, I need to prove my worth or my value, or, you know, those me kind of thing that kind of comes out of a kind of shadow seeing of it. But as I get older and older, one of the many gifts of that is also to do this beautiful thing that the Chariot card illustrates, and that is integrating. integrating the cosmic, integrating my psychic downloads, turning it into form, taking it other places, which are really beautiful aspects of the Chariot. The last thing I wanted to say before I pass it over to you is my year card is also Chariot.
This year?
And I'm...
Dang, girl, you're gonna go.
I could not be happier. So if you're listening to this and you're like, in quotes, soul card or tarot archetype card correlates with maybe is the same this year, this could really be a chance to fully embody aspects of yourself that you've either put on the back burner or you've been too afraid with kind of strength coming up. You've been like, oh, if I show this, my vulnerable belly, because the Chariot's all about protection. But that's been one of my sort of driving forces for this year is asking for help, being vulnerable, showing my vulnerability more. That's been a real life lesson because it's not something I'm into. Maybe Amanda can tell us how one can get their personal year card.
Well, so similarly to the way that you calculate your soul card, which is to add up your birth year, your birth month, and your birth date. In order to get your personal year card, then you add up your birth month and your birth date and also this present year. So for instance, for me, I was born in November, so that's 11. I was born on the 13th, so that's the 13. And then this year is 2018, so I would add all of those together, and my year is the strength year.
So your soul card is High Priestess, and you are having your strength year.
That is right.
All right.
Yeah.
I just had a weird brain fart, you guys. I have to share when you were talking. I was like, wait a minute. Last year, my year was lovers. I didn't know it. I wasn't like doing that. Or maybe I was and forgot. And I got married. Isn't that funny?
Yay. Congratulations. Anyway,
so it's like funny. Another really interesting tool about the tarot is you can kind of think back to what cards were coming up for you at a certain period of time. And when you're in the moment, you can't make sense of them. You're like, why do I keep getting temperance? Or what is death all about? And then kind of something happens. You're like, oh, that's what the tarot was trying to tell me. So you can think about what was your kind of card last year. So your card last year was the Chariot.
Well, yeah. And I think that's really an important point to make in general about divination is that oftentimes divination is just as much, if not more, about revealing the truths of the past and helping you make like connect the dots and understand the purpose as it is about understanding or predicting the future. But yeah, so Chariot, last year was my Chariot year, and it was so much about like really focusing on achieving that goal and harnessing, you know, my libidinous impulses, my drives, my fears, my terrors, my passions, and sort of bringing them into alignment so that I could achieve the thing that I wanted. And last year I was working all year on my book, and then finally I did sell my book. Yay. But so it was very much about kind of just like I stayed home most of the year. I was just at my computer most of
the year. You're like harnessing all of the aspects of your personal power.
Yeah.
Wow. That is super amazing. So again, this is about you kind of doing the work of what you think the cards are sort of telling you. And it's also about you doing the work of figuring out what parts of the cards speak to you or what you're kind of going to work with sort of through the year. So hopefully this episode has given you some ideas about how to do that.
Yeah. So if you're interested in figuring out more about your year, then you just calculate via the numbers. And then you might want to do a lot of journaling about what that means to you. Like, for instance, as I said before, like mine is a High Priestess. My soul card is the High Priestess. So I might investigate, you know, what that means to me or look at how that might appear in my life and try and embody that or look for fear, like figures, like heroic figures that might inspire me about that. Or lessons that I might learn in popular culture about that. So you can just investigate your little heart out. And I think that's pretty much it for this week. But next week, we're going to be really getting down to biz, going in deep with the Fool.
Or jumping into the void, jumping, as it were.
Yeah, okay, yeah, definitely not business oriented. It's all about...
Kidding. I'm joking. We're doing our weird work, you know?
We're doing our weird, strange work and jumping into the void with the Fool.
Yeah, so stay tuned and you can find us
at Oracle of LA, Facebook, Instagram,
or GOTTESSS on Instagram or visualmagic.info. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Yeah, thanks so much for listening. Bye. Hey, Amanda here. We recorded this episode a few months ago, and creating justice is more important than ever now, especially with this crucial election coming up. So if you really want to get involved, but you're not sure how to do it, check out our program notes where we have a few ideas, and at the very least, get out and vote. Witches unite.
Witches in the DMV, witches in the bar, witches on the picket line, there's a witch wherever you are.